You look at me, I do.
Yeah, just don't fall. He's so slow.
Well.
We gonna try with that music. Nancy, we're not gonna sound like you though, that's for sure.
She does a great job.
Yeah, she does.
This is an old song. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father along will know all about it. Father along will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Amen. Well, I say again to you tonight, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
He gave me this thing this morning, I forgot. Now I don't know how to turn it on. But anyway, it's supposed to have a red light on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it sound any different now?
Yeah.
Okay, picking me up?
Yeah.
I hope it picks me up a lot tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all, give me just a second here. Can you find my pocket now? All right. We sung that chorus this morning. I'm not going to sing it tonight, unless y'all want to. If you want to sing it every night, that'll be fine. It'll get us started off pretty good, would it not? I know some of you probably haven't even done it in a long time until this morning. I know a lot of us haven't shook hands with our neighbors tonight, probably. I had to make Brother Donnie shake hands with me. I'm just kidding. Anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Do you want to sing it or not? Yeah. Do you not? Okay, let's sing. All right. You want to stand?
I'm not going to sing it for one time tonight. This morning we sung it twice. I was just trying to teach you the first time this morning and the second time. Don't remember. Okay. I don't either. What's the first few words? And I'll remember.
We all know it, don't we?
Smile a while and give your face a little. Lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. Do you remember another quote that I told you this morning? Turn that frown upside down. Amen. And let's enjoy the blessings of God tonight. I have an old message that I'm going to preach to you. I reckon Sister Verna probably say, well, I've heard that before. And some of you may have heard that before. I don't know. But I just want to be a blessing to you this week. I really do. And if there's any way I can help any of you, you let me know. Amen. As he said this morning, I'm your pastor this week. Some of you may not like that, but that's all right. You can have him back after this week. Amen. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, and I hope all of you have them, let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Now, can everybody hear me all right? Okay. Raise your Bible up when you found it. Now, we'll know then that everybody's found it. Amen? All right. Sister Shelby, I didn't see you raise yours, did you? Oh, you was behind Sister Huff, okay. All right, let's start with verse 1 and read down through verse 9. Okay, verse 1 down through verse 9. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Now, let me stop right here. I might say something about pretty much every one of them. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by what? The will of God. Now, what's God's will for our life? First of all, it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to eternal life, right? So if it's that, then it's God's will that we be saved. And Paul was a Christian. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. He was writing this scripture here to the church there at Colossae where he had been. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Oh, that sounds like a Christian, don't it? Christians of Colossae, since we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love which you have to all the saints, we ought to love one another. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Jesus Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would just preach through us tonight the message that you want to be preached tonight, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just bless in a special way every special request that's been given to us, and also, Lord, the ones that were mentioned tonight. We ask, Lord, that you'll just take each one of them and answer them according to thy will and riches in glory. And Lord, I pray tonight that the altar will be full for your honor and your glory, Lord, and strengthen us in the faith and give us great revival for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Now, have you ever thought about the devil and what he tries to tell us? He's always telling us what we're not. Amen. He tells us that we're not a Christian. He tells us different things that are against the word of God. And so he's always got a message to the believers, what we are not. But God's message, you ever noticed? God's message is what we are. There's a big difference, isn't it? What we're not and what we are. Now, the devil will have us living under our circumstances. But the Lord wants us to live above our circumstances. The devil's always making us feel sorry for ourselves. But the Lord would lift us up above the circumstances and feel sorry for the world. That's the way those two work. And I don't like to very many times say something about the devil and then something about the Lord all in one time. But I'm telling you now, the devil is a cunning old rascal. Yeah. He is one that you cannot trust. But then there's the Lord Jesus Christ that comes into our heart and into our life, and he is the one that we can trust. Now, Paul begins his letter here to the church at Galatians by saying, declaring who he was and who they were. He said, let's go back. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Then he goes on in verse 2, said, to the saints and faithful brethren which is at Galatians. Now he was telling them who he was. He also was telling them who they were. Now he was declaring that. In verse 1, Paul said, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Then he said, to the saints and faithful brethren. And as long as we remember who we are, what we are doing here, and where we are going, we can have victory through Amen. Jesus Christ. And let me say to you tonight, you cannot have victory any other way. You cannot have victory on your own. The only way that you can have victory is through Jesus Christ. Yes. So always remember that. I know you already know that, but it doesn't hurt to remind people every once in a while something about what they've already heard. Because sometimes we have an idea or attitude or something happens in our life, and sometimes we don't remember. But when it's brought up again, it's a blessing to us. It is to me, and I don't know about you. But Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, there are five things given in this chapter that will mark the privileges of the believer. Now, what is the number five? Anybody know? It's grace, isn't it? Grace. We, through grace, are saved. By grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are you saved. Now, Paul called these believers at Colossae by two names. There were saints and brethren. Pretty much the same thing. The word saint means a holy or godly person. One who has been regenerated or born again, in other words. That's who a saint is. Now, if I really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it, I could call myself St. James, because we are saints. We may not act like it all the time, but God says if we sin comes short of the glory of God. What did he say? He said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
All right, so we have privileges that the world does not have. Here's what I'm talking about right here. The first one is our position. We're saints in the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has been generated. And none of us could claim that before we got saved. Salvation made us a saint. Now the word brethren, it means the kinsmen of the same family. He said brethren. That means kinsmen of the same family, doesn't it? Thank God for the family of God that we've been going into.
Amen.
I'm glad that I'm a Christian tonight, aren't you?
Yes.
How much respect for God and the house of God and the man of God that we have. The position which the believer has is an honored position. One that we would respect in the same way. That is honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that most of us here tonight, if not all of us, are like that. And I praise the Lord for it. I like to talk to Christians. I like to tell them and just verify the fact to them that we're saved. We're on our way to a better place.
Amen.
This old world don't hold anything for us. I said that this morning. I'll say it again tonight. This old world don't hold anything for us as a Christian.
Right.
Not a thing. Amen. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through this world. That's what the Bible tells us, doesn't it? Strangers and pilgrims passing through. This is not our home. So our position then is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a privilege that we have, that we are saved by God's marvelous grace, that we can be in the family of God, mm-hmm. and that we can have a position that the world does not have.
Right.
The world does not have a position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. They're going on their merry way, thinking that they don't need anybody but themselves. But I'm here to tell you that we all need somebody else. There's not a one here that can get to heaven by yourself. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ saving your soul, and him leading you and guiding you and directing you through the whole process of life down here on this earth. And that's our position. Now, let's look at the second thing is our portion. In verse 2, it says, grace to be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to a city whose builder and maker is God. That's our portion. The world would say, what's the use in being a Christian? Or what profit is there in living right? That's what the world's saying. You know, what does a man profit? He gained the whole world and lose his own soul. The answer here is a million reasons. I don't have time to give you those millions, and I wouldn't know them all anyway. But here are two that will help you and meet every need of life. Now, how many of us here tonight have a need in our life? Every one of us do, don't we? We need something in our life and someone in our life. And praise the Lord, we have somebody in our life that can supply every need of our life. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble financially, physically sometimes. You know, some of our physical health comes from us not serving the Lord like we ought to. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you do or not, but that's all right if you don't. I'm not going to fall out with you. If you don't agree with me on it, that's okay. But I believe that we can put up a place in a position that we wish we wasn't in with the Lord. Now, the world would say, what's the use in being a Christian? And grace is what he give us, isn't it? It's all that we need to face everything in this life. Everything. Grace is. If it be battles, if it be suffering, if it be disappointments, whatever it might be, peace, grace is all that we need to face for everything. Peace is that which keeps us calm in the midst of all the trouble in the world today. Everything. That peace that passes all understanding. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? Think about that. He is our Savior, as I said this morning, and He's our protector. He's our need supplier. All of these things, and I could keep going on and on. But if we have grace for every need and peace for whatever happens, then we have no need of anything this world has to offer. Not a thing. So there it is. There's a position. There's a portion. Now, so let's go on a little bit further. There's our practice. In verse 3, it says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That's practice, isn't it? Praying is practicing. I have a thing of trying to pick on people sometimes. And if I like you, I try to pick on you, okay? Whose time is it? None of you gone, so it's all right. Anyway, I have a thing about myself sometimes I'll say. That got up and got me off. Wait a minute, I'll think about it in a little bit, okay? I don't say that every Christian is happy. But I do say that every Christian can be happy. Amen. And the happy Christian is a practicing Christian.
Yes.
Let me give you some examples here. There are five things that are given in the next four verses that describe the real life of a practicing Christian. There's the giving of thanks found in verse 3. We give thanks to God. For everything, our food, our clothes, anything else, we ought to give thanks for. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my church. I thank God for what He's done for me. I thank God for the food that He put on my table. It wasn't me, it was God. Let me say it to you again. It's not me, it's not you. It's Him. Always remember that. He is our provider. Well, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. Giving of thanks. I thank God. Amen. Do you thank God for your food? It just upsets me so when I see, and I've seen preachers do this. I hate to say it, but I have. They go in a restaurant somewhere, and I'm going to pray before I eat my food in the restaurant. I don't care what nobody likes it or not.
That's right.
But he come in one day to the restaurant I was sitting there. He got his food. I kind of watched him because I knew who he was. I'm not going to call his name. But they knew who he was. First thing that he done was take that fork. Never ask the blessing. Let's give thanks for the Lord. Don't ever eat before you ask the blessing. Amen. Clothes on our back. He lets us use those clothes. We ain't going to need them anyway after this life is over. When God calls us home, we're not going to need those. We're going to be wrapped in the robe of righteousness. Amen? Now, giving of thanks, exercising faith, we find that in verse 4. He says, since we heard of your faith They were exercising their faith, and Paul heard about it. Let's be exercising our faith and let somebody hear about it.
That's right.
Amen. We need to do that. There's that demonstrating love there in verse 4, where it says, "And of the love which you have to all the saints." Well, praise the Lord. There's not many Christians that don't get mad or upset with somebody and won't speak to them for 6 months or more. We can't have revival like that. I'm reminded of this revival one time, and these two brothers, they went to church there, and they hadn't spoken to each other in a year at least. And the preacher just kept preaching every night. Both of them would come, one on this side, one on that side. They would come, they'd listen, and go out. One night, after about 5 days of revival services, God got a hold of those two boys, or men, and they went to each other, and they asked the Lord to forgive them, and they asked each other to forgive them. And you know what? Revival broke out in that community like you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to take.
Right.
Get that off, brother. It's getting me. Is that him? Cut it off if you don't mind. It keeps jumping out and I can't. It ain't him. Well, I don't know where it's coming from then, but it's.
Donnie, yours is off.
Huh?
It's not off, but it's.
All right, let's get back to this. I'm sorry. If
it's
not you, I apologize, bro. Okay? It sounds like that right there. All right, verse 4, demonstrating love. Verse 5, revealing hope. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And then in verse 6, there's that producing fruit. That it says here, which is coming to you as in all the world and bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you. What this world needs today more than anything else is a practicing Christian.
Amen.
Full of faith. Love for one another.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's go on. There's our prayer. Found in verse 9. And if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, very familiar passage of scripture, it says, pray without ceasing. But it says here in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you in the desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Most of y'all know this, if not all of you, but prayer is you talking to the Lord. Reading God's word is him talking to you. And he'll hear and answer your prayer. It may not be when you want him to, but it's all in his time. Amen. All right, let's go on. The prayer of the believer should never be for selfish reasons. Never for self-glory. It always ought to be for his honor and his glory. Therefore, from verse 9 through verse 11 is a model prayer for every Christian. Let's look at it. For the knowledge of his will. What is he saying here? Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. What is God's will for our life? First of all, I mentioned a while ago, it's not God's will that any should perish. All come to repentance. But that's not talking about us as Christians, was it? That was before we got saved. Now, since we're saved, what's God's will for our life? Let's seek God's will for our life. I had all intentions of staying with the Community Baptist Church the rest of my days. But God told me different. And I had to do what God told me to do, whether I wanted to or not. What I'm saying is this. Let's pray for God's will. What is God's will for our life? Think about that. Look in verse 10. It talks about for a worthy walk. It said that you might walk worthy of the Lord. It takes something, doesn't it, to walk worthy of the Lord. Verse 10 talks about a fruitful life. Every one of us as Christians ought to bring forth fruit for His honor and glory. What is the fruit for His honor and glory? Souls being saved, and they growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being fruitful in every good work, it says. Then in verse 11 it says, for strengthen life, strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power. Our life needs to be strengthened through the power of the Holy Ghost. And there's a channel that only a believer has that the world will never have. And that's our prayer. Amen. All right, look at verse 12. Our praise. Giving thanks unto the Father. Verse 12. You see, it says giving thanks. Verse 13 through 14 is praise to God for what He has done for every believer. Giving thanks unto the Father then which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, we ought to praise the Lord tonight. Everybody has a different way of praising the Lord.
Yes.
I get happy sometimes. You know what I do? I holler out. And it don't bother me the least. Anybody don't like it. As long as I know that God is blessing me, and He wants me to do it, then I'm going to do it.
Amen. Right.
Anybody around, if they don't like it, then they're going to have to endure it. When the Lord gets hold of me. Amen. Verse 13, it tells us that because we have been delivered. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness? I'm talking to you tonight about what we have as believers that the world does not have. We ought to be thankful that we're Christians tonight. In verse 14, it says that we have been forgiven. Because we have been forgiven, in other words. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me say to you tonight that the believer has reason to praise the Lord. In whatever capacity He has you to do it. I know some people, they'll say amen. Some people cry. Some people throw up their hands and praise the Lord. Just whatever the Lord has for you, that's what you ought to do. Amen. Revival is what we need. And if we'll just get where God can put the power of God upon our lives, then we can have revival. Yes. We have everything that we need. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is succumb to it. The privileges of the believer, in other words. If you're not saved, you're missing these privileges. That's all I can tell you. If you're not saved, you're missing these privileges that we have. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?
Amen.
I believe all of us in here are. Most of us, anyway. But I tell you tonight, I love you. God cares for you, and He loves you too. So let's do what we have to do and what we can do for the glory of God. In our last days, because I believe that Jesus Christ is soon coming back, I might go before you do. You might go before I do. One thing for sure, if you go before I do, I want you to wait for me just inside the gate. And if I go before you do, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I might not even be around the gate nowhere. I don't mean. But I do know one thing. Whatever He's got for us is a whole lot better.
Amen.
Than what we have down here. Amen. Yeah. So let's bow our heads. Brother Bill, come on. Let's stand if you would, and if you would look, if you'd like revival, want revival to come in your life, and people get saved, and the nation be revived. This nation does not stand a chance unless that we get, all of us get right with the Lord, and we can have revival. Okay, Brother Bill, what you got?
Page 249.